So today's guest is Michelle Carabash. She's Brentwood School's Director of Pupil Wellbeing, and she's a newly appointed house parent at Mill Hill, the girls' boarding house. Let's get into this one right now. Welcome to the Brentwood School podcast, the place where we talk to staff, to parents, and to pupils to find out more about life within the school. This is the place to keep up to date and in touch with our community. So let's not waste any more time, but come with me as we get into this episode right now. Michelle, thank you for being here and welcome to this episode of the podcast. How are you today?
Doing really well. Really excited to be here and speaking to you.
Good, good. Excellent. Have you ever been on a podcast before?
I haven't, no. So this is my first time.
Okay, well done for being here. Are you missing anything right now, or is this a free period, or what's going on?
Yeah, this is a free period. So I've timed it well today.
Well, I appreciate you giving that up because I know how precious they are. But first of all, congratulations on the recent appointment. I understand that you're looking forward to this new role. When does it all start and when does it kick off?
So I will be starting after Easter in April time, and I will be coming into role for that last term ahead of September. So I'm just getting to know the girls at the moment, spending lots of time over in the boarding house each week, getting to know small groups of girls at a time.
Okay, all right. And so moving in there is very exciting, of course. Do you move in on your own? Do you have family? And if you have family, do they move in with you?
So they will be moving in with me. So my husband, James, and I've got two small children, Jude, who is 4 years old, and Isabella, who is one. And they are very, very excited to be moving into the boarding house and living with lots of girls.
Wow. And tell me, what does James do? Does he work in the world of education as well? The only reason I'm asking is because I figured that it might feel a bit strange for him if he's living in a boarding house in a school and he doesn't work in education. But does he work in education? What does he do?
He doesn't work in education. He's a project manager, so he manages lots of electricians working on big projects, commercial projects mainly, kind of like our new boarding house, which I know we'll speak about later. So he's done lots of projects in schools, but not from a teaching point of view.
Okay, all right. So he understands what school life is like. And of course, he's married to you, so he fully understands and he gets it.
And we spend lots of time here at the weekends. We take our children to swimming and tennis lessons. So the children are very used to being in the school environment as well and know the school very well. So.
Brilliant. Okay, now tell me what you're most looking forward to about this role as house parent.
I think mostly getting to know the girls on a more personal level. Obviously, I teach some of them already and see them around school all the time. But I'm really excited to create a home from home environment, create a really friendly family atmosphere at Mill Hill, and just get to know them all much better.
You say home from home. Tell me more about what that actually looks like then in a boarding house.
So day to day in a boarding house, obviously the girls go to school, like all our day students. And when they come back from school, they do prep time. So like they would do if they were at home, doing their revision and studies for their subjects. And then after that, we all go to dinner together as a family, really, like any other family, and meet the boys' house, Huff House, over at the dining hall for dinner together. And then when we come back, obviously the girls have their own free time. A lot of the time they spend together in the communal areas, watching TV, playing games. Sometimes they have friends over, day students and other boarders from the other boarding house. And yeah, it's a really nice family atmosphere at Mill Hill. And I've got experience because I was a tutor a few years ago and I spent a lot of time there on duty. And it's just a lovely atmosphere.
Sounds beautiful. That really does. And I love that whole system of the girls having their boarding house. It sounds like the boys have got their own boarding house, but when they have dinner, they eat together. Is that right?
Absolutely. They come together for dinner, but they also come together for lots of other things as well. When we have house events and rehearsals, if they're practicing for house music, or at the moment they're practicing as part of the dance show that we're putting on in March. So there's lots of activities and trips as well together that they come together for, but then they also have their separate time as well.
And tell me a bit more about dinner. I mean, how does that actually look there in the boarding house? Are there many people there? Is it in small groups? What kind of food is on offer?
So obviously they have dinner, they have breakfast, lunch and dinner at the boarding house. Breakfast, sometimes other students, day students, come for breakfast as well if they're doing sport early in the morning. Lunchtime is huge, all students and staff are there. And then dinner time tends to be more just the boarders and some staff who are on duty that evening.
Is it quite different then for the students to, you know, interact with the staff during meal times like that as well as seeing them in class? Is it like a different vibe that they have with them?
Absolutely. I feel like it's always the time that you get to know the students better. I feel like even at lunchtime, it's really important to sit with the students and kind of see how their day's gone. Obviously, not every time. Sometimes they would like to kind of just have dinner with their friends. But you really get to know them on a deeper level. And you actually, their phones are not there. They don't take their phones to the dining hall. And you can just talk about how their day's gone, as you would if they were at home with their family, and get to know. Sometimes they've had challenges. Sometimes they've not had the best day. And it's really good to kind of iron that out and talk to them about what support we have in school, what they can do differently the next day if they feel like they've had certain challenges. Or sometimes they might feel that they're a bit lonely, homesick, and that's the time we can kind of sit down and have those one-on-one chats, or in a group setting, just so that they're a little bit happier.
Well, it sounds awesome that they get that opportunity then, that the staff get the opportunity to get to know those students at a deeper level. I love that. I really do. And you mentioned about phones not being in the dining hall. Is that because they're not allowed in there, or just because the students don't bring them in?
So obviously in the evenings, it's different from the day, but students aren't allowed their phones out in the dining hall. But also what we do in the boarding house is we actively encourage them to leave them at the boarding house so that it promotes that conversation and that, rather than them just sitting down looking at their phones, which sometimes can be a bit distracting. And they've all been, as much as initially they wasn't keen on that, they've all been really positive about the fact that it's given them dedicated time to not only get to know the other girls in the house, but also the boys in Huff House as well. It promotes that conversation, they get to know each other that little bit better. And then obviously when they go back in the evening, they have the time where they have their phones.
Yeah, I guess to start off with, they might think to themselves, oh, you know, no phone, gosh. But actually, the more frequently they're doing that, interacting with other people, having real conversations with people using their voice, then they start to enjoy it and appreciate it.
Definitely. And our school values virtual learning manners. Actually, it really promotes the manners that actually they're talking to one another and listening to one another as opposed to being distracted. So I think it aligns with our whole school values as well. And actually, it's been a really positive move for us.
And you mentioned that the students have lunch in the boarding house as well. So just for the sake of anyone who maybe hasn't been to the school site, I mean, how much travel is involved when they go back for their lunch during a normal school day?
In the normal school day, lunchtime, the dining halls are on site, so it's very close to their lessons. Mill Hill, the girls' house, is just across from the road. So we're talking no more than a few minutes walk to the dining halls.
Okay, all right, that's great. And then you mentioned as well the different activities and the trips. What kind of trips are involved where the boys and girls come together?
So one of the first trips that they do, which every year is a big success and the pupils absolutely love, coming together as a whole schoolhouse, is to Alton Towers. So we go there for the weekend, spend a couple of days staying in the hotel, the swim park, obviously the rides, and that's a really good way for them to get to know each other, particularly when you have new boarders starting year on year. It might seem quite daunting at first, straight away going away as a big group, but actually it means they get to know each other much quicker when they start, and they absolutely love that trip, and year on year it's one that they ask for.
Awesome. And then roughly what time do the girls go to bed in the evening?
So it's different for different year groups. So we have, depending on what key stage they're in. So year 9 will be very different to upper 6, for example. So it's a staggered bedtime coming from 9:30 to 11.
Okay. All right. Got it.
But they have to be in their rooms early. So they're in their rooms settling down before then, even if their bedtime is a bit later.
And then waking up in the morning, what time do they generally wake up and then emerge for breakfast?
So breakfast over at the dining halls, they can go over from there between 8 and 8:30. So anything from 7:30, they're getting ready to leave the boarding house and getting over. If they get over there early, they get the better choice.
Oh, okay, that makes good sense.
Apparently the chocolate croissants are in demand. So they're very keen to get over there and be on time.
Michelle, I think you should save one for me as well. And when girls first arrive in the boarding house, are any of them worried about some of the things that we as adults might think are quite trivial, such as you know, worrying about sleeping in or worrying about saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing or wearing the wrong thing or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what we try and do is make sure it's a really seamless transition before they start. So they get to come over, if possible, depending on where they are, come over to the boarding house, get to know, meet the house parents, whether that's in person or on Zoom, online, and so that they've got the opportunity to ask those questions before they come, so that they're not coming with those worries. But obviously, naturally, there's worries there, given that they're coming to a house where they may not know anybody, and that's our job to make them feel at ease and make sure that transition is as easy as possible for them. So we try and put them with other girls that are a similar age, girls that might have similar interests, and they also have mentors. So they'll have mentors in the house who have been there for a few years beforehand to help them with that transition, because they've gone through that themselves. And we find that's a really good way of helping them feel comfortable and more at home, because sometimes they would rather speak to another pupil than come to the teacher every time. Or come to their house parents. So that's been a really positive move, making sure that we have those peer mentors in the house, but also some of the students are also trained as mental health champions to help students with any anxiety they might feel before moving overseas to another country.
Yeah, that's reassuring to hear. That really is. Now, Michelle, let's talk about the big news here. You're joining the boarding team at a really exciting time. We've got this work that's going on at the moment with the new state-of-the-art boarding house. Tell me what you're looking forward to with this big move and this purpose-built house in September 2025.
First of all, I'm so excited. The designs, the building that we're seeing going up on site looks incredible. Everybody, it's created such a buzz around school, not just with our boarders, with our day pupils. Everyone wants to be a boarder now at school when they're seeing what's going up.
Brilliant.
And actually, the girls are so excited to have their own rooms. They absolutely love being in Mill Hill. They love the home from home feel, that small community. But their one ask is always to have their own room, and even better, to have an ensuite. So I feel like they're gonna really enjoy having that personal space, bringing those traditions from the current house, but also then being able to embed that in this state of art building that is just creating such an excitement around school, is great to see. So I'm just so excited to be part of that, and also make my family be part of that, and make this a really great time for the school to be known as a boarding school, where before it's been more of a we've had a smaller numbers. So it's now time to raise awareness that actually we are a boarding school and we've got so much to offer.
And it's a proper boarding school as well. Like you say, it's not like you're a day school now with just a little bit of boarding. You're a proper boarding school, and rightly so. This to me sounds amazing though, because I mean, and we do have a different podcast episode just on the new boarding house already, but it's amazing to me that the students can have their own room and their own bathroom as well. I don't actually know of many or any other schools that offer that.
I haven't so far come across another school that offers that to all boarding pupils. And I definitely feel like it's still going to have that community feel. There's still those communal areas. There's still going to be lots of opportunity for us to come together as a girls' house and a boys' house and as a whole boarding school. But actually, sometimes the students have said to us before, when they go home, they're used to having their own rooms and their own privacy. And I do feel like this is going to be a huge advantage and selling point for us, because it's what the pupils want and we're listening to them.
Yeah, no, rightly so. Rightly so. And of course, in your role as, you know, I understand that you've been director of pupil wellbeing and mental health lead, is that right, in the senior school? Is that right?
Yes. So I oversee our mental health provision as well as our pupil wellbeing programme. And I'm really keen to bring more of that into the boarding house. So we offer lots for our day pupils, as we do for our boarders as well. But having a building on site for everybody will allow us to offer more opportunities for them, ongoing opportunities, collaborative opportunities with the day pupils, with the boys and girls together. And yeah, so currently what we offer, we have wellbeing dogs on site. We have not only mental health champions, so we have about approximately 50 students trained as mental health champions, alongside 40 members of staff trained as mental health first aiders, with a huge pastoral team, safeguarding team. There's so much support in place already. And with this expansion, I feel it's really important that we expand that even more to ensure that our boarders are given the support that they need at a time when they've perhaps left their family and it's their first time in the UK.
I mean, this combination to me sounds perfect, being Director of People Wellbeing, being focused on mental health lead, being focused on mental health generally in the senior school, but also now being in the boarding house. I mean, if I was a parent sending my child to a boarding school right now, and if I knew that someone in your position was also the Director of People Wellbeing, that would just, I mean, I don't want to fill other people's minds with my thoughts, but that would certainly fill me with a lot of confidence and assurance that my children are going to be in good hands, safe hands.
I hope so. I think I've been here now 10 years and I've been doing the Director of Pupil Wellbeing and Senior Mental Health Lead for the most part of that. And I feel that I have a really good awareness of the challenges that children face today. And I think that awareness in the boarding house, alongside our tutors and our safeguarding team that we've got in school already, is going to be a massive benefit, because I'll be the eyes and ears for our parents and able to give them the support and the one-on-one support that sometimes they need, whether that's when they first come over or when they're doing their GCSEs or their A-levels or exams. Naturally, it's an anxious time for everybody, and just having that person that's there to look out for you and support you, perhaps, with some of the challenges that you might be going through, I think is a massive benefit, not just for the girls, for the boys as well.
And you mentioned 50 mental health champions, I think you said. What's that about?
So Mental Health First Aid England offer a programme of training activities for staff and students above 16. So we train our sixth formers throughout the school to support our younger pupils with the challenges that they may be facing in school. And what we've tried to make sure over the last few years is that within those numbers, we train some of the boys who are in Hough and some of the girls that are in Mill Hill, so that actually when everybody leaves at the end of the day, we still have students on site who are trained how to spot the signs and symptoms. They're not there to diagnose anybody. They're not there to offer any kind of advice and treatment. However, what they are there to do is to signpost them to the right support. So it's almost like a layered effect. So our student champions work in partnership with our mental health first aiders, mm-hmm. who will have times when they're over at Mill Hill as well. So the students get to know who they are. So that actually sometimes it might not be the house parent, it might not be the tutor that's the right fit for that pupil, but we have a whole nother group of staff and students who are there to be a listening ear, to direct those and signpost to the right help, potentially.
And you also mentioned about the pastoral team. Is that part of that same group as well, or is that something separate?
Absolutely. So all of our head of years are trained as mental health first aiders as well. So the head of years are part of that pastoral team. We have pastoral mentors who are also trained in mental health first aid. And basically, then we have so many staff. We have form tutors. We have safeguarding leads for each key stage. We have house leaders. There's such a huge amount of support. It would be impossible to name everybody. But all I can say is there's always somebody who is there and available should there be a need. And this is why we're actually going to be opening a wellbeing hub, which will always be staffed, whether that's with the mental health first aiders, safeguarding team, pastoral team. Sometimes our wellbeing dogs will be on site as well there. So that actually, if there's a moment where somebody needs to find somebody and just talk to somebody, there'll always be someone there for them to find.
I mean, to me, this kind of provision sounds awesome. It really does. You don't need to go back far in time. You know, I'm not talking 50, 60 years. I'm talking like 20 years, 10 years to see this kind of provision in schools, and seeing this at Brentwood is just awesome. It really is. And then, Michelle, the big conversation. Tell me what that's all about, because I've heard about this at Brentwood.
So a few years ago, we set up the big conversation to tackle problems or issues that were and topics that were being debated in society and to discuss as a whole school. So three times a year, sometimes twice a year, we're off timetable as a whole school where every member of our school community discusses those topics. So not just our teaching staff, our operational staff, the pupils. So everyone is part of that discussion. And ultimately, what it's teaching pupils to do is just to, you might not always agree, but learning how to disagree and actually doing that in a respectful manner. So we teach the pupils how to kind of debate and talk about these issues that they're hearing about on the news and hearing about. And it's a safe space in an environment where there's staff there to all engage together.
Well, Michelle, in this world of polarised politics, that sounds like music to my ears, and I'm sure that is to other parents that are listening to this right now. I'm keeping an eye on time. In a moment, we're going to need to bring this to a close, but there's one last thing that you've mentioned twice now and I haven't asked you about, and that's the wellbeing dogs. Tell me about them.
Yes, so we currently have 6 wellbeing dogs in school.
Wow.
We started with 1 wellbeing dog in 2020, and year on year it's expanded. The pupils and staff absolutely love them. So we have a different wellbeing dog in school each day. Mm-hmm. If you don't like dogs or you have allergies or anything like that, you don't have to see them. They're in designated areas where the pupils and staff know where to go and see them on any day that they would like to. And actually, it's been a wonderful initiative. Sometimes students that may have not come forward for support have now come forward to see our dogs, and in turn they're there with a member of support staff who actually can talk to them about any issues that they might have. Yes, so we publicise that around school, and also we get a lot of staff going to see them, perhaps who might need a little bit of breathing space away from their everyday activities.
Yeah, no, rightly so. Absolutely rightly so. And I'm glad you mentioned about for children who don't like dogs or children who are allergic to dogs, because of course some children are afraid of dogs, you know, regardless of what size the dogs are. So it's good to know that they're certainly going to be in safe hands, but they're going to feel like they're in safe hands as well.
Absolutely. So when anyone joins the school, pupils, staff and or parents coming onto site, we make sure that the parents receive a letter and they can request their child to not have access to the dogs if they wish. We don't have many, but obviously dogs are not for everybody, and we understand that, and we don't want to cause any further anxiety should a parent or child not want to see them.
Awesome. Well, look, Michelle Carabash, Director of Pupil Wellbeing and newly appointed house parent at Mill Hill, thank you for being here. It's been really good talking to you today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm really excited to talk to you about our wellbeing programme, but also the boarding house as well. And I look forward to speaking to you soon.
That's it for this episode, and thank you for listening. To find out more, check out the school website, brentwoodschool.co.uk. Now, our next episode is coming out soon. So in the meantime, don't forget to follow or subscribe so you can stay in touch. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye for now.